And this is our number 10.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes of the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Oh, it is a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. I'm still checking my text messages. If you're getting any snow anywhere you can hear my voice, let me know. I know this morning Anna Cordes was reporting it, some places in the South Sound as well. You can text me at 98973. That's 98973. And let me know. We have so many great reporters out there, meaning you, that we'll get the first word to everybody if snow is hitting the region. But it sounds like it's going to be more Friday and Saturday. Very exciting. Be our first really decent snow of the year. All right, let's get into the fastest 15 here. And Nicole, have you checked? Because I just heard in CBS last hour that in Chicago and Minnesota, they're getting like record below zero temperatures. And I know you're flying to Chicago this weekend. Have you checked what the temperature is going to be there?
Oh, I haven't checked lately. I mean, I knew it was going to be cold. They just got a big snowstorm, but I haven't checked lately. Of course, you know, I am worried about my flight now that it's going to snow here. So probably, I mean, this could all go downhill for me very, very quickly.
When are you flying out?
Friday evening.
Okay. Friday in Chicago, high of 16, low of 5. Yeah. So here's the other thing. I told you driving to Indiana to not take the interstate and to take the highways that'll take you through those beautiful farm towns. I don't know if I want you driving I don't want you driving the back roads if it's going to be 10 degrees outside.
Yeah.
They're going to get icier than the interstate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Main route.
Yeah,
I think you better probably.
Yeah. But I'm telling you, in the summertime, the back roads between Chicago and parts of Indiana, you need a convertible for that, though, to get the full effect.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I'll go in the summer again. I'll need my hair done by then again.
Exactly. Okay. I'll ride shotgun on that one. All right, so, but we're waiting for some snow here in the Puget Sound area, so let us know if you start seeing it while we're on the air this afternoon. Let's get into the fastest 15 here. Mark Cuban, who owns the Dallas Mavericks, kind of quietly, because they don't have many fans in the stands, and he just stopped playing the national anthem this year. Mainly because there aren't any fans in the stands and he didn't think anyone would notice. But someone finally noticed and tried asking about it. And Mark Cuban confirmed that the Dallas Mavericks probably will not play the national anthem again before their home games. And I guess he has decided that it's just too divisive. And the problem is the NBA requires teams to play the national anthem as part of the pregame ceremony. So I don't know if this is going to turn into some kind of a showdown. I could take or leave the anthem before sporting events, but you will miss some great moments. Like, do you remember this? This was at the NBA All-Star game when Fergie from the Black Eyed Peas sang the anthem. And it was... Well, what's the word that comes to mind when you listen to this earlier today, Nicole? Because I have a word that comes to my mind. How would you describe this in one word?
Well, it's funny. I pulled this morning again, and I was laughing all over again. And the faces of the players really got to me. But I'm sure she was going for sexy. But
yeah,
I don't know. Funny is all I could come up with.
Okay. She was going for sexy. The word you came up with was funny. The word I came up with was ridiculous.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light.
Oh.
What so proudly wave at the twilight's last gleaming?
First of all, she can't hit notes. Secondly, that sounds like a horrible parody of somebody who's making fun of somebody who's trying to be sexy. What, you want so a few funny. More sex? Okay, here's a few yeah, more. I mean, can't play
is,
much
when
more.
When are we going to get to... Yeah, we can't always have an excuse to play this.
Yeah, I know.
Whose bright stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight.
Okay. I wish I could play it all the way to the end because it gets even more ridiculous, but
I don't have
time for that. And then remember, right after the anthem, Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal on TNT.
Can we talk about Fergie's national anthem? Oh, stop. Don't do that. Don't do that to my Fergie. Leave her alone. Dude, Fergie, I love you. It was different. It was sexy. I like
it. Damn right, it was different.
Leave her alone.
I needed a cigarette after that.
Leave her alone.
It's one of my most favorite lines ever, really.
Charles Barkley has a lot of great lines, but
oh, yeah.
I needed a cigarette after that is one of his better lines. Okay, so anyway, we're going to miss moments like that if it spreads, if it metastasizes, but Mark Cuban of the Dallas Mavericks doesn't want to play the anthem anymore. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15, I don't know any kids right now who go to Cal Berkeley. I've known a couple over the years. I know a kid who's right across the bay at Stanford right now, who I coached. But Cal Berkeley, I don't know much about their current class. But the Stanford kid I know hasn't been able to go to class. It's been remote learning. It's really a shame because she worked hard throughout her, you know, K through 12 years, and primarily middle school and high school. She worked really hard to get into Stanford. And then you get into Stanford, and I think they've been in class for less than half of the 3 years that she's been in school now. And across the bay at Cal Berkeley, they are banning outdoor exercising. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. This is the stupidest. This has no basis in facts or data or anything that's real. But students at Cal Berkeley have been told to sequester in their rooms. They're going to be monitored by security officers. And because of coronavirus concerns, Cal Berkeley is banning outdoor exercising. And again, there isn't one bit of information or statistics or data that indicates that outdoors, if you're separated from people, that you can get the coronavirus. But at Cal Berkeley, which is the second most liberal university in the United States, Evergreen State in Olympia is number one. Cal Berkeley is number two. They aren't even going to let the students exercise outside. And again, what's the point of going to college? What's the point of spending all the money these kids are spending on expensive school tuitions? You know, if you go to an Ivy, I don't know if Harvard and Yale, if they're in class, but if they're not, you're not learning anything better than any other Grand Canyon University online student or University of Phoenix, whatever it is. But it's all based on just absolute falsehoods right now. And you'd think the smartest kids in America would be able to see through that. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15. So what was your first reaction, Nicole, when you heard Aunt Jemima's new name?
It's forgettable. So... that's all it's... I heard. I said, oh, that's boring and forgettable. Nobody's going to remember that.
So last summer, in a connection that I still cannot quite put together. But last summer, in the wake of the George Floyd protests, and every corporation in America was trying to prove how woke they were, and Quaker Oats, which, well, Pepsi owns Quaker Oats, and Quaker Oats owns Aunt Jemima, which is both syrup and pancake mix. And they said, we're going to change the name of Aunt Jemima syrup because it's racist. Even though there is absolutely nothing racist about the name Aunt Jemima. It's a smiling woman on the syrup bottle. She's looks like a very pleasant woman. But they said that the company that first founded the pancake powder batter mix was called the Pearl Milling Company. And so that's the new name for Aunt Jemima products. And they've released pictures. The Aunt Jemima bottle, which used to be just this red label, it said Aunt Jemima Original and had a smiling picture of a black woman on it. And now it says Pearl Mining or Milling Company Original. And I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound like pancake breakfast to me. Oh, please pass the Pearl Milling Company syrup. Hey, Dad, did you make these pancakes from scratch? No, these are Pearl Milling Company pancakes.
Okay, did you really say Aunt Jemima pancakes? Pass the Aunt Jemima syrup, please.
No, I said Aunt Jemima pancakes. They have Aunt Jemima pancake mix. They have the syrup, but they also have a pancake mix.
I understand. I think it'll be, you know, formally known as Aunt Jemima. They'll have to say the Pearl Milling, formerly known as Aunt Jemima.
No, pancake it's just going to be Pearl Milling. Our grandkids are not going to ever have heard the name Aunt Jemima. That's going to be as foreign to them as, you know, when I was a kid, the big diet candy was AIDS, which is an unfortunate name for a diet candy. It's a little chocolate pill that you would eat, and you would take AIDS if you wanted to lose weight. And my kids don't know anything about that form of AIDS. Well, their kids aren't going to know anything about Aunt Jemima. It's just so going to be
It loses what's special about it. It loses the, you know, this is for years and years people have appreciated and loved this syrup or pancake mix, and it's now lost its history. So now it has no, nothing to go off of. There's nothing there to say, this is good stuff. It's lasted this many years, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's been Aunt Jemima for 130 years. And Quaker Oats has, you know, done a great job of branding Aunt Jemima. It's like this
Quaker
radio
Oats
show
going away too. Just oats.
If well, the picture of the Quaker with his Quaker clothing, that's going away. But I think they're going to keep the name. Maybe they're not keeping the name Quaker Oats. I don't know, but I know they're taking away the picture of the Revolutionary Time Quaker, who is on the box of Quaker Oats. But yeah, you spend all this time, 130 years in this case, branding something, and then all of a sudden it's Pearl Milling Company syrup. That sounds like, to me, that sounds like it's going to have, like, grit in the syrup. Something that I'll break my tooth on.
Pearls?
If I pour that on my... Yeah, well, Pearls and Milling Company, to me, sounds like there's going to be dirt. Yeah. Inside. I don't know what Milling Company means.
The bottle now looks like every other bottle. I think that the bottle being shaped as a woman is what made people pick it up.
So yeah.
I'll be curious to see what their sales do after this.
And I suppose Milling Company, you mill, you know, flour, you mill wheat, and I'm sure that's what they did with whatever they turned into the pancake, instant pancake batter, but just to me, because we don't mill stuff anymore and we don't use that word. To me, Pearl Milling Company sounds like it's going to have pieces of stones and dirt in it. And I know it won't, but it sounds that way. So if I have a choice between that and what's another brand of syrup? I can't think of any others. I always that's what I was going to say. I always get the really good Costco syrup.
Yeah,
it's tasty.
Isn't Mrs. Butterworth a syrup, or is that a
Has
butter?
Mrs. Butterworth been canceled?
I don't think so.
Has she been canceled?
I don't think so. Or, I think she... I was just looking up Aunt Jemima, and Mrs. Butterworth popped up as well.
Here, let me just see. Has Mrs. Butterworth been canceled? Let's see. Yes! Mrs. Butterworth is undergoing a complete brand remake as well, for the same reason as Aunt Jemima.
Hmm.
Along with Aunt Jemima and Uncle Ben's, Mrs. Butterworth will get a complete brand and packaging review, according to a spokesperson for Conagra Brands. Can we change Conagra Brands while we're at it? They said
maybe Mrs. Butterworth
that
was the one that was shaped like a woman. I thought, yeah, maybe that's.
Yeah, Mrs. Butterworth had the bottle shaped like a woman, not Aunt Jemima.
Yep.
But yeah, so they're going to give Mrs. Butterworth a complete brand remake as well to eliminate. This is what the spokesman said. We understand that our actions play an important role in eliminating racial bias. You know what? Once Aunt Jemima becomes Pearl Milling Company and Mrs. Butterworth gets a complete brand remake, all of the racial animus in America will be gone. And because of a Pepsi-owned pancake and syrup company, we will finally have everyone coming together in America. So bless their hearts.
And
I couldn't thank them more.
Multiple texts saying Log Cabin is another brand.
Log Cabin. Yeah, but you know who grew up in a log cabin? Abraham Lincoln. And we're canceling Abraham Lincoln left and right because he apparently let the Minnesota governor kill some natives. So we have to cancel Abraham Lincoln and any home he grew up in. So we got to get rid of Log Cabin. What's another brand syrup? Is there any that can survive this?
There is that. I don't know if they have syrup, but somebody also texted the Snoqualmie Falls. Don't they have like a pancake mix. I don't know if they
have
syrup.
That doesn't count. Wait a second. Hungry Jack. Is Hungry Jack a syrup?
Probably.
By the way, can I say one thing about syrup? Because I know we got a break. But there are some foods where the light version of the food is almost as good as the full fat
Not
and
many.
Calorie version. Well, like I like Caesar salad dressing. I'm fine with light Caesar dressing. I'm fine with light ice cream. I think light ice cream is very good. Light syrup is horrible. Syrup
because
and
the main ingredient is sugar, and you're replacing it.
Oh, and then peanut butter. They've tried making a light peanut butter, and that's horrible. That tastes like chalk. So that's my nomination as I wrap up this random fastest 15. The best foods that for a light version are Caesar dressing and ice cream. The worst and cheese too. Light cheese is no good. But syrup and peanut butter and cheese are the worst to have a light version of. Oh, I'll tell you the other one, like Alfredo sauce. Light Alfredo sauce
bad,
is really good. No, it's good.
No, bad. No.
I love the light Alfredo.
No, you have to have the full fatty cream that you put in it.
Well, it sounds like we got to toss this over to the listeners.
Also,
here,
so. Dory and Nicole, I've heard that Diet Dr. Pepper tastes more like regular Dr. Pepper.
Diet Dr. Pepper is better than regular Dr. Pepper.
I got to stop drinking all pop. It's like drinking poison. I got to stop the diet. I'm down to 2 Diet Cokes a day from my usual 6 or 8 in the past.
How many Diet Cokes make up 1 can of regular Coke, Dory?
It's a totally in different
calories?
Different
Infinite. Yeah. But people who drink Diet Pop tend to be heavier than people who drink sugar pop because it still triggers some of the things in your body that are essential for good weight loss. Mm. So I don't know. Anyway, drop us a text. The best and worst light foods. My stupid ad lib topic for this hour. Text us at 989-973. That's 989-973. What?
Bob Rivers has a maple syrup, right? People are texting that in as well.
Bob makes maple syrup and he makes honey.
Yeah.
Over in his he's sent me both. He's a good friend. Okay, shoot us a text, 989-973. That is your fastest.
This has been the fastest 15 minutes of the news. Fast. Dory's fastest 15.
Oh, I'm so late. Okay, our friend Brock Heward's going to drop by for a visit. Next, right after we check the news here on the Dory Monson Show.
Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's Hump Day with Heward.
Blue in it, check. Brown, 24, Razor.
Brought to you by IRG Physical and Hand Therapy on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM. With a 12s, hear the Hawks.
Play fake to Benny Russell, lets it go. Down the far sideline, reaching up, making the catch. Touchdown, Seahawks!
Here's Dory Monson.
Wednesday afternoon, Brock Heward always drops by for his weekly visit and got a lot of stuff to talk about today. We were just getting on the air yesterday, Brock, when we heard these clips from Russell Wilson on some national shows sounding for the first time ever like he might be thinking about getting out of Seattle. I know you've been kind of following this pretty close for a couple of years now. What's going on here?
Yeah, you know what's interesting, Dory? About the only time that Russ has ever made news in any, I don't know, disruptive light off the field has typically been when he's negotiating his contracts. And I think over the years, we've had some discussions about that. And when it comes contract time, like any good agent, and his agent is a very aggressive baseball agent, who tries to create some sense of leverage. Well, maybe we'll franchise, or maybe Russ wants to play in New York because Sierra loves the bright lights and be in a bigger market and yada, yada, yada. That's about the only time we've ever heard anything that just kind of ruffles some feathers locally other than now, other than over the weekend at the Super Bowl and following and with the Dan Patrick Show is what you were referencing and with others that, he's just kind of flexing. I think he's kind of flexing a little control, like, hey, I'm a decade in, man. In this league today, Tom Brady gets to dictate where he wants to play. Some of the personnel around him, Deshaun Watson down in Houston, is trying to force his way out of the Houston Texans organization because he doesn't particularly like the way they're going or their owner. And, yeah, I think this was a little bit of a flex by Russell to just say, hey, man, give me some help. I'm tired of getting hit. I'm tired of having a really average offensive line. And I need, at this stage of my career, a little bit more help around me.
Is there something else at play here that involves Coach Pete Carroll? Because, he's been undeniably the best coach in franchise history.
Yeah.
But it seems like things wear thin. And we saw what Earl Thomas did and the gesture he made as he was being carted off the field. And Richard Sherman, there's obviously no love lost between him and the coach. And as tight as they seem to be when things are going good, at the end of relationships, there seems to be not just apathy, but it kind of goes the opposite direction.
What's your take on that? Yeah, I call it a little friction point. And, you know, in this case, Dory, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me that Russell made this as public because I just don't see much upside. John Schneider, the GM, just signed an extension, I think, through 2025. Pete has an extension. Russ has 3 more years on his contract. I think many times these are things you handle behind the scenes. You don't let it get out. But I think what you're referencing, kind of the scorched earth with Richard Sherman when he departed, the middle finger that Earl sent Pete's way when he departed. Yeah. And, you know, Pete gives those guys tons of freedom of expression. He loves player empowerment. He loves a colorful locker room where there's lots of personality. He does. I mean, he's told me before some of his favorite football teams ever were like the 70s and 80s Raiders, right? That just were full of flavor. And Pete grew up in the Bay Area and played at Pacific and just loved all that personality. And, you know, when you let those players kind of run the locker room and you give them an immense amount of freedom, yeah, they will, as I said earlier, kind of flex on you. And that is what I feel here with Russell, is I think he's saying to Pete, at this stage of the game, man, I'm 10 years in here, and I have taken a bit of a beating. I've been unbelievably durable, but I sat up in the Super Bowl box with the commissioner, Roger Goodell. This is Russell, not me. Russ and Sierra sat up there after winning Walter Payton Man of the Year, which is an awesome accomplishment on his part. And he sat up there and he watched Patrick Mahomes and said, you know, I used to play like him. I used to run around like him. I used to be a magician like him. I kind of have that kind of athleticism and certainly did to begin my career. And then he looks at the other end of the spectrum and sees a 43-year-old Tom Brady. And Russ wants to play until he's 45. And he looks at him and goes, well, if I'm going to play till I'm 43, then I got to stop running around and stop taking a beating and stop taking the amount of hits and the amount of sacks. He was third in the NFL, getting sacked 47 times this year. So I think a lot of this is a manifestation of watching that Super Bowl, of watching other players and his position and the amount of voice and power they have. And he's creating some sparks and some friction with Pete and John saying, get me some help up front.
And he, mid-season, he said he wants to be the greatest of all time. And the truth is, he's not tracking to be that. You know,
correct.
He's good. He's really good. But he's not tracking to be in the pantheon of the all-time.
And that's how he fancies himself, right? I mean, he fancies himself LeBron James and Tom Brady. And that is the air that just he wakes up to every day and wants to be great and wants to be a champion. And while winning a lot of games, and he's won a lot of games through 9 years, as many games, I think, as anybody ever play, he's not won the titles. And that dry spell has now gone on, 6 years? And I think that, too, is where some of the frustration comes.
You shared something with me about just how tough a year this is for all sports in getting fans, getting eyeballs, that the final round of the Masters viewership was off 58%, NBA Finals off 49%, World Series off 30%, even the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And everybody thought this is the dream matchup, and everyone's been cooped up in their houses all year, and everyone's going to want to watch this. That was off 9%. And is it going to come back? Is this a pandemic blip? Or have people just come to a point where sports are not as important in their lives?
Yeah, that's a good question, Dory. And I know that executives all over the country and those leagues and those commissioners that are fighting for TV rights and wanting to get every last penny out of these TV deals. And the Pac-12 conference is another one that's got a TV deal up in the next 24 months is trying to figure that question out. I do think just emotionally people are spent. People are spending under their own roofs, in their own communities, in their states, trying to, you know, just put life back together, get their kids in school. I think there was a tremendous amount of emotion over the last 12 months politically that almost felt like sport, right? It's just the back and the forth and the divided nature of it and the intensity of it and the emotion of it. I think a lot of in the competition, frankly, that went into all of that politics, I just don't think people had as much in the tank left to go watch. Well, let me go watch a game with nobody in the stands. Right. And the Super Bowl was, you know, probably the least impacted, as you said, down only 9%. And I think it probably would have been down, you know, 3-4% had the game been compelling and competitive in the second half, which it was not, as the Buccaneers just totally beat up the Chiefs. And I think the Super Bowl benefited because at least it looked a little bit, sounded a little bit, felt a little bit with 27,000 people in the stands, at least a little bit more towards the normalcy that hopefully is coming. But empty stadiums, bereft of fans, no emotion. Yeah, I think it's taken a huge toll, and those numbers are pretty indicative of it.
Yeah, it's just not as compelling. And then you have things like Mark Cuban, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, yesterday said he's not going to play the national anthem anymore, which just alienates a lot of other fans. Hey, last thing. You've been such a proponent. You've been such a fan of, we got to get kids back in school. I know your kids have been going in class. We just found out yesterday from the new president that their goal is to get kids back one day a week by the end of April. That's going to solve everything for our anxiety-riddled kids, Brock.
Oh, goodness. Goodness, goodness, goodness. Yep, one, you know, these. I think there's many factors, and you talk about it on your side an awful lot. It's the leadership in the states. It's these teachers' unions, the power that they, kind of speaking back to Russell Wilson, right? He's kind of flexing his power and control and voice. And these teachers' unions have sure shown you, you know, by their actions, you know, what they believe is most important to them. And in many cases, it's not been the kids.
Yeah, one day a week. All right, Brock Heward, you can hear his podcast, Above and Beyond, at mynorthwest.com or 710sports.com. And I appreciate you coming on today. Thank you, friend.
Yeah, you got it. Always a little bit of drama with these Seahawks in the offseason. Always give a little something to talk about on a hump day.
Okay, we'll have a lot to talk about next Wednesday, too.
Yes, we will.
All right. And we have lots more. Sorry, that's Brock Heward. Check him out on 710sports.com of the Above and Beyond podcast. And we have lots more straight ahead. It's the Dory Monson Show.
Rosa.
Oh, my. I'm getting a lot of feedback from you on the foods that are good and horrible in a low-fat edition. And as for changing Mrs. Butterworth, along with Aunt Jemima, from the 425, Mrs. Butterworth is a slavery-celebrating, white devil-supported, institutional racism, fascist, anti-homeless, election fraud-claiming, Proud Boys member. I did not know that about Mrs. Butterworth. I want to give you one update. We've told you the last couple of days about this woman who's really captured the hearts of America, Tessica Brown. She ran out of any kind of regular hairspray, so she sprayed Gorilla Glue in her head, and now her hair has been plastered against her skull for days and days and days. Here's the video from yesterday.
Hey, y'all. For those of y'all that know me, know my hair has been like this for about a month now. It's not by choice. No, it's not by choice. When I do my hair, I like to, you know, finish it off with the little Got to Be Glue spray. You know, just to keep it in place. Well, I didn't have any more Got to Be Glue spray, so I used this.
Gorilla Glue, and it's a very powerful adhesive. It's been days now. She can't get it out. She's doing daily updates. Yesterday, a friend had to cut off her ponytail, which is the only part of her hair that is not plastered to her skull.
All right. We've been using the acetone every day trying to soften it up. It kind of feel like it may have softened up a bit, but we're going to use this. We have some on here already, but I'm going to just add a little more. And we're just going to cut this whole ponytail off and try to let it breathe a little bit.
So then they cut off the ponytail.
This is pretty much a close-up of the ponytail. They got the ponytail.
Leaving like a rock-hard nub that has the Gorilla Glue in it. The manufacturer can't help her, but it is a daily drama, and they're releasing daily video updates. And I know your desire to know about the story is insatiable, so I'll try to keep you posted. Hey, the top stories, Big Lead 2, coming up next.